my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, evermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, all the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know.
Today. We have had a full day, but it has been good because we've been doing the Lord's work. Could have had a full day of watching the Super Bowl or something like that here in the house of God. Somebody act like that wouldn't be a bad idea. How many on the security team is working VBS? That's you guys that walk around. One, two, three, four. Yeah, he's in there. Four. Brother Scott, is he and Brother Price walking around right now? Okay. So, that's four, five. All right. We should be good. Now, Felipe, you going to be in the parking lot like usual? Okay. And you other guys, y'all are with people. Y'all doing jobs, but y'all are ranked. Okay, keep your eyes open. That's all we got to do. All right. Make sure that things are proper and in their place. Security team. Okay? One thing I need to talk about before we get into the book of Mark. We're going to get into the book of Mark, chapter number 11. Good to have visitors with us. Jason's brother is visiting, and good to have him with us this evening. And we have a good amount of visitors today in the house of the Lord. It was good. Good to see people friendly. The Bible says we should be given the hospitality and it's not given to the hospital. And I saw many. Matter of fact, the lady, the two ladies and the two children, when I got to them and I began to talk with them, they said quickly that all the Sunday school teachers had already come and talked with them. That's how it worked. That's good stuff. Well, when I heard that, it made my heart jump. They're like skip a beat. So praise the Lord. That's how you do it. Go to them. Be proactive. Be friendly, so that they feel at home. You know how it is when you visit someplace new. you know, and you're kind of the new one. You don't have to make them feel odd, but, you know, make them feel welcome. You know, y'all did a good job this morning, and I did the other couple sitting back here. Same thing. He had his service dog with him, the gentleman back there, and I saw several, and that's good stuff. That is wonderful stuff, to be honest with you. Okay, I'm trying to cover this because I kind of covered it in two different ways. And you're adults, and you work hard for your money, and you've earned your own money, and so I just want you to know that when someone needs help and they're in help and they're needing help, it's your business how you help and when you help and what you want to help. But be in prayer about who you help. Because there's some that just ask for help every week, 6, 7, 8 times. So be careful. There are legitimate needs, but then there are those who take advantage. So be careful when you pray about, Lord, move your heart. Brother Jim's kind of got a good way of handling it. And it doesn't have to work this way, but when someone hits Brother Jim, he says, well, let's go talk to the pastor. Then, you know, you might not know that they've already been helped 6 times this month, but I might know that. So be careful. Okay, and I'm going to leave it at that. I think we know what I'm talking about, so be careful. We are to help people. We are. So let's get into the Word of God. All right. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. And let's see. We left off at verse number 11 last week. And Jesus had departed. He went over to Bethany and spent some time there. And we figured out through questioning that that was a place where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. Now, the Bible does not say that he went and visited them that night, but that is a known fact that that's where they were from. So it's good to tie those together. It kind of gives you a little bit of understanding about what's going on, where he's traveling, where he is at, and stuff of that nature. Let's pick up in verse 12, and we'll read down maybe... We'll just read the whole chapter. I don't believe we'll get all the way done with the whole chapter tonight. We'll just read it, see what happens. Verse 12, chapter 11, the book of Mark. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered, said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Verse 21, and Peter, calling to the remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that thou of those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven have forgive your trespasses. Verse 26, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And they came again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple. There come to him the chief priests, scribes, and the elders, and said to him, By what authority dost thou these things? And who give thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John, that he was a prophet indeed. And the answer said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answered saith unto him, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. In verse 12, you'll notice that they were traveling, and as they went on their journey, along the way, the Bible makes a statement here in verse 12. It says, He was hungry. He was hungry. And that's just a small little statement, but it does point to the fact of his humanity. Just talking about Jesus. Jesus had hunger, had hunger pains. He got tired, thirsty, weary. And sweated great drops of blood and so forth and so on. He was 100% God, yet 100% man. And this is one of the aspects that the Bible talks about. And he was hungry, so he understands the human side of things in that manner, except the sin nature that we partook of. He was not a sinner, never sinned, was without sin, was without spot, without blemish. But he did experience those loneliness, times of alone. He went to pray in the garden, and took three of his guys with him, and he went off by himself. He came back and said, "You couldn't pray with me just for an hour?" He understood the time where he was alone and by himself. And so this is another portion of Scripture that points to the humanity of Christ. Now, of course, he sees there in verse 13, a fig tree afar off having leaves. And he came and happily that it might find anything thereon. Why did he want figs? He was hungry. It was something that was going to fulfill. It was going to fill the figs, would fulfill the hunger spot in his belly. But you notice something there, that as he got closer and became close upon it, he found nothing but leaves there, and there's a statement there at the very end of that verse that really hits at home. It says, "For the time of the figs was not yet." So when you get closer to the situation, as you read there, to me it says that it wasn't even time for the figs to be putting off. It wasn't the leaves was a it was evident that there should be figs. Because he was walking through the place, he saw the fig tree. There's leaves. Oh, there's going to be figs. And he's the Lord, knoweth all things, as he got there. So this is something else. It's a picture of something else. It's not just so he can just curse a fig tree. Now, if you would, you go with me over to the book of Isaiah. Hold your place there. Isaiah chapter 5. I will tell you this, that it is a sin to be unfruitful. We're commanded by God to be found fruitful, to have fruit in our life. So it is a sin to be found fruitful, unfruitful. What did I tell y'all? Isaiah, I'm trying to get my words all mixed up. I don't even know where I'm going. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5 and verse 1. Look in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Now we sing to my beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, he gathered out of the stones thereof, and planted it in the with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and you and my vineyard. Make a judgment here between all that I've done, between me and you and the vineyard. Verse 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more rain upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord, listen what it says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. So this is a picture of the nation of Israel in the book of Isaiah. And God says, I put in the choicest plants. I mean, I put the best of the best. And, you know, I put in there. You know, the Bible talks about in the New Testament that the Jews had the oracles of God. I mean, God used them in a mighty way. He put them, Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees. He placed them in a place. He gave them a land that was not theirs and flowing with milk and honey. He planted them in one of the choicest places. When he came back to look for fruit, he found wild grapes, sour grapes. And he looked and he said, the vineyard is Israel. And when we see this fruit tree, and we look at this fruit tree, there's leaves and everything there that would say it's a healthy tree. Why didn't it bring forth fruit? You look at some people. Well, we can put off, as Christians, we can put off healthy heirs. The Bible puts it like this. They speak with their lips, but their heart is far from him. Even lost folks. The Bible says this about some lost people. That they came to the Lord and they said, yet the Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name, we done this in your name. And this is what the Lord said. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It is a sin, dear friend, to be unfruitful. We need to ask ourselves, are we being fruitful? I mean, are we? This tree serves as a lesson for Christians today. A great lesson. I mean, judgment is pronounced in verse 14, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They heard it. No man's going to eat fruit. You know, in the epistles, the Bible talks about being placed upon a shelf. You know what our life, our attitudes, our motives, our actions, we need not to be trampling on the blood of Christ. We need not to be. We need to be fruitful, God-fearing, upright, with a good conversation, a good lifestyle, so people, when they look at us, they see the green leaves. But when they get close, they need to see fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. The Bible says what? And against such, there is no law. And then as they look at your life, what it's saying, you are convicted of being God's child. Jesus come to this tree from afar off, green leaves. They got closer. He got closer. And he was hungry. And he desired a feeding. I wonder when Jesus looks from a distance at our church, at our life, at our pastor, at our Sunday school teachers, at our song leader, at our choir, at a distance, he sees green. Life. Well, we should be life because to be a member of the church, it is a requirement that you be saved. The Bible says, I was quick, I was dead in trespasses and sin, but he quickened me. He made me alive. So part of the requirement to be a member of our church is that you be born again, baptized, present yourself a member, and you're accepted as a member. So there should be life. I think a lot of the problem is, and many times if we're not very careful, that we might allow dead things to be grafted into the membership of the church body, but we're never part of the family of God first. We've got to be careful. Jesus looking for it. There was a fig tree that was green. He went up there for fruit. I wonder if he comes down and he gets closer. You remember in the Revelation, I stood outside the door and I knocked. If any man open, I'll come in and sup. And boy, that means he was hungry. I'll come in and eat. I'll come in and I'll be with you. In other words, I want some fruit in your life. I wonder how the fruit is. Strange thing, if you was to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, I'm not now in your own time, as many of you know the verse, chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of God, and our sins and counsel, standeth in the way of the sinners, or sins in the counsel of the scornful. It goes on and on, but it talks about a tree being planted by the river of life that bring forth its fruit in its season. Are you being fruitful? Jesus got there and he said, no man, hereafter. You know what he said to his disciples? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Bible says the book of Proverbs, a man who wins souls is wise. Are you being fruitful? When Jesus comes along in your life, you know the Bible tells us that we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, it says this, shall be filled. I wonder when Jesus comes along for the day of fellowship in our life and the moment of fellowship and the hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, as he comes down into our life and he spends time in our life, does he find fruit? When he's hungering and thirsting for that fellowship for you and I. A preacher, he's God. He was God in this here very verse we're looking at. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. That's what the Scriptures teach us. And he's God there. As a matter of fact, this is a strange thing, isn't it? Who's the Creator? You think before he walked upon that tree, he didn't know it didn't have fruit on it? He knew, dear friend. This was a lesson for his disciples to understand that it is a sinful thing to be unfruitful. To be fruitless, dear friend, is a sin. In verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple. And remember, he was there the day prior, verse 11. He entered into Jerusalem. He went into the temple, verse 11. He left out. On the morrow, he went to Bethany. On the morrow, he came from Bethany. So he was out, he was in. So now he's back in the temple. He saw all this going on. And he answered, said unto the temple, verse 15, and began to cast out them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of of them that sold doves. You remember over there in Isaiah when we read it, and I looked and I planted, I put the best in, and I had the best, and there was wild grapes. This is the fruit. This is a wild grape. The Gentiles out there where the Gentiles could see all this money changing going on. The Bible is very clear about how and what and who and where and what process it was for the sacrifices to take place. Very clear. Go in the Old Testament. They had the bestest of the instructions. They could look and they could see, and they could they knew who was to bring what and when and where and what time. Think about this for me for a moment. The temple tax had to be paid in Jewish coins. You remember over the book of Acts where it talked about all those that were gathered up in Jerusalem there at the day of Pentecost. There were 17 different languages and nationalities. You know, from Ethiopia, from all over, but it's named a whole bunch of places over there. Can you imagine all those Jewish people traveling back in, and they had that Ethiopian money in their hand, and they had to go give that offering, or they had to go buy that animal, buy that dove. Guess the first thing they had to do? Take and exchange that money. You think it was an even change? You know what the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs? God says He hates an unjust balance. You think it was an even change? There was no even change here. Here these guys had traveled for miles and for miles and for miles to come and to worship God. In the temple of God, they go up there, and the first thing they got to do is they got to be robbed. Do you think for one moment the priest did not know that these money exchangers was not doing things wrong outside? They knew. They were very aware. They controlled everything that went on around them. Surely the priest understood that somebody that was supposed to bring a lamb for sacrifice had a responsibility to watch the lamb, and I believe, if I'm not wrong, for 14 days without spot, without blemish. Well, don't worry about that. I've got old Charlie the Fluff here. And I'll sell him for $100. You just take him, and you go lead him off, and he's limping. This is what's going on. This is why Jesus shook up the system. This is what's happening here. I mean, he turns it upside down. This ain't the first time. Remember we're in John chapter number 2, verses 13 to 16, when it started in the early ministry, and he flipped it upside down then. This is the second time. Sin being conducted in the temple of God. Sacrificial animals and birds being sold to the Jews who came from great distance away. Being robbed and cheated. Robbed and cheated. Jesus cast them out. Verse 17. And he taught. This is amazing. Right after casting them out, I'm just slinging stuff upside down, casting it out. Jesus taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. You have made it a den of thieves. And you begin to teach. You know, at the age of 12 in Luke chapter 2, verse 46, where do we find Jesus? He reveals that at that time he's in the temple, answering and asking questions. That's the real use of them. The Bible says that they were. He was in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He told his told Mary and he told Joseph. He said, "Must I be about my father's business?" Where was he at? In the house of God. Here it says it's supposed to be a place of prayer. Listen, this is the building. You are the church. But this building belongs to the work of the Lord. Labor of love. And this should be cared for. It has a purpose. It's a meeting place to come about. And it's been set apart paid for by church tithes and offerings. That's why we have to be careful how we treat it. Be careful how we take care of it. He cleansed the temple, it increased the hatred. The Lord says in verse 18, and the scribes and the chief priests heard, and now it says they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him. And listen to why. Because of all the people was astonished at his doctrine. His teachings. Wait a minute. What did he teach? He flipped up money changers, run them off. Those people sell animals. And then he taught the people, this is a place of prayer. Is that a real reason to want to kill somebody? You get thieves up out of here. Yeah, it is, because why? Now their purses, their coffers was not being full by the sales of the items. Oh yeah, they had to pay in the back room. You wasn't going to have a table out there. You wasn't going to be a money changer unless the high priest said so. Now, they seek to destroy. Because all the people were astonished. As in verse 19, and when the evening was come, he went out of the city. And the night came. Jesus said, it's not time. You know, evil men love darkness because their deeds are what? Jesus understood. They would have tried to take him that night and tried to kill him that night. They were that riled up. And Jesus went off. Wait a minute. In an earlier chapter, didn't he tell us he was coming to Jerusalem for the same purpose? It's time and it's not their time. He had other things to accomplish. See, sometimes we say, Lord, when are you coming? Lord, when are you coming? Lord, come now. His time is not our time. He'll come when he's ready. Until he gets ready, we need to just stay occupied, stay busy, and stay doing things according to the New Testament pattern. We need to stay faithful, stay straight at it. And in the morning, here they come, verse 20. They passed by and they saw the fig tree dry up from the roots. What's the root of the problem in your life? See, there's fruit. Like if you're bitter and you're angry and you're upset, that's the fruit. What's the real problem? Where's the root? Because your troubles will never go away until the root is dried. Oh, you'll pluck it off. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You'll pluck that fruit off. But the rebellion, the root. This tree had rebelled against the Creator. All things consist by him. Listen, he wanted a fig. And when it did give him a fig, from the root up. From the root up. Jesus, as much as he wanted a fig off of that there, he wants fruit in your life. Don't dry up. Listen, God did not mean for us to be a bunch of prunes. We're not in this for the digestive system. We're in this for the heart. For the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You and I got life, dear friends. We got life. I think I'm going to stop right there because I want to get on down. I want to pick up here and just keep going with this. This thought here is amazing as we just scoot on down through there. I mean, it's amazing. And the next morning, here's the disciples. They're walking out of Peter. Lord, have mercy. Here's the thought. Have you ever seen somebody years ago that was in love with the Lord? Now they're just all dried up. From the root up. From the root up. Just dried. What happened? We'll get into it next week, dear friend. I'm telling you, it has something to do with faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know the old saying, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Man, alive. Took Benji to lift weights up at the football house last week or something, and he was looking away, and he had left two of those 45s on there on the weight bench. He was just warming up. Now he was, I don't know, he walked outside and looked around something. I slid underneath that weight bench, and I dropped that bar, and I'm just, just two 45s. Last year, I could probably do about 12 of them in a row without stopping. Last year, ask him, he saw me. I got two, and I was about to choke. I put that thing back up there. What is it, 45, 45, and the bar is 45. What is that, 133? 135? Something like that? 1 year's time. Same thing, same scenario. I sit down there, and I'm going to tell you this. I can tell you this, and you know it. I'm saying the truth. When I did them three and it still felt good, I didn't stop till I saw all of them looking. When I got under there this last time and could only do two, I got it up off there before they saw anything happen. You don't lose it. You lose it, dear friend. I'm going to be honest with you. There's some things that if we don't get with it, it just slowly withers up, dries up, goes away. Prayer, Bible, witnessing, singing. Well, Jim, you know it. You sit up here and you see some folks that used to sing with joy in their heart. Now they won't even pick up a songbook. Withering away. The joy of the Lord, dear friend. I mean, the joy of the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We ask you, God, to bless choir practice afterwards. Lord, help us to be found fruitful. Lord, it is good to be green. It's good, Lord, to have that freshness about us. But, Lord, you desire fruit. God, help us to be fruitful. As a matter of fact, you say, much fruit shall we bear. Lord, help us. God, I look around our church, I see good folks that love you. But I also see a devil that's real. It's a devourer, seeking whom he may destroy. God, as you told Peter, that you prayed for it, because Satan desired to sift him as wheat. God, if with all that's within us, help us to be in prayer for one another. Because it's Satan's desire by the year end that he stops and hinders and plucks somebody from the flock. He doesn't want somebody, or he doesn't want anybody. But he's got his eye on a few. God, help him. Help me, Lord. Tomorrow I could be in the same fix. Lord, I need you every day of my life. I don't want to have a testimony. an epitaph in my life that says, he did run well. I want it to be said, we finished our course. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Choir, please come to your place.